Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein, and you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Hokies. And on Saturday, you heard the spring game right here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And joining us right now from the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat, it is Hokie Steve. What's going on, Steve?
What's up, Adam? How are you?
So that was pretty much a quarterbackless spring game. No Pop Watson. We knew already ahead of time there would not be Kyren Drones.
Right.
So what did you think? Give me your three biggest takeaways from the Hokies spring football game.
And I just, like I said, I just told you off air. First of all, if any of those guys who played Saturday take meaningful snaps in 2025, things aren't going well. So, obviously, Drones is a starter. He had had that minor surgery. Pop Watson, soft tissue injury, whatever that is, kept him out of the game. But, you know, I like some of the, you know, some of the running backs that they had in the game. The transfer from Central Missouri, the D2 school, Marcellus Hawkins, he ran the ball for about 50 yards. And then Braden Bennett, the running back transfer from Coastal Carolina, he had 75 yards. So pretty good. And like I mentioned Terrion Stewart, who I think is going to get a lot of the carries in 2025. He's still at Bowling Green finishing up. So I think the Hokies are pretty good at running back. They really like the wide receiver, converted wide receiver from Tennessee, Cameron Seldon, who transferred over, who caught a touchdown pass Saturday in the game. Aiden Green threw it to him. So
nice.
So Aiden Green, the wide receiver, actually had more passing yards than any of the quarterbacks that played.
Aiden Green really was a nice piece this season.
I mean, like I said, they lost four, you know, solid receivers in Jennings, Lane, Gosnell, and Felton. So he's the guy. I mean, he's the next guy up, right? And then it's going to be this Cameron Seldon from Tennessee. And then they got the transfer Donovan Green from Wake Forest, and they like him as well. So, you know, my takeaways are, you know, looks like we got a stable of backs when you add Stewart to the mix. I think the receiving core looks pretty good. And you got two new, you know, you got a new offensive coordinator and Philip Montgomery, a new defensive coordinator, and Sam Skives. And, you know, not a lot of information out of Blacksburg over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, and I talked about this with Bill Roth, the play-by-play voice of Virginia Tech football. They're trying to replace NFL talent on the defensive line.
Right.
APR and Aeneas Peebles.
Yep.
And I think that might be the most difficult task for them.
No doubt about it. And who they're bringing in, this is the defensive lineman from Eastern Michigan, James DeJonkum, who's actually a Springfield, Virginia kid. They like him. But you're right. There's a lot of really good talent that is no longer going to be playing at Tech. They kept it. This is the least amount of information I think I've seen coming out of Blacksburg for a spring practice in a long time.
Yeah, and that seems to be the case around the country.
Yeah, and maybe that's for the reason. Obviously, you know, there's a big game that they start out with down in Atlanta playing South Carolina and Shane Beamer. Yeah, we'll see. You know, cautiously optimistic.
Let me ask you this. So last year it was pretty obvious the expectations were 3-1 out of the gate.
Or 4-0.
Or 4-0.
Yeah.
What are your expectations for this year with South Carolina, Vanderbilt,
they can't,
ODU, and Wofford?
They can't start out the season 0-2. You know, I mean, the expectations are they go down to Atlanta, you know, and lose to South Carolina. If that's the case, they come back to Blacksburg the next Saturday and play Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia. They got that is a must win. You can't start out the season 0-2.
Yeah.
And then you expect to beat Old Dominion at home. You expect to beat Wofford. So, you know, I'm hoping – I'd love to see, you know – crazy me, I'd love to see 4-0, but I'm hoping for 3-1 is the expectation.
Yeah, well, especially with three home games, right? And
yeah.
They just have not been able to come out of the out-of-conference clean in a long time.
I know, and like I said, you know, everybody probably, you know, realistically expects to go down and lose by, you know, double digits to the Gamecocks. But can't sleep on Vanderbilt.
Right.
I mean, look what Vanderbilt, not just what the Vanderbilt did to the Hokies last year, look what they did to Alabama, look what they did to Auburn. I mean, look what they did in the SEC, and their quarterback is back.
Yeah,
so
you got to lose the game to South Carolina with some positive takeaways.
Correct.
You cannot get blown out. I mean, it can't be like when Georgia blew out Clemson at the start of last year where there were just no positives because the offense couldn't do anything, right? I mean, I'm expecting the defense to struggle. But can the offense, which is returning, you know, some pieces, not a tremendous amount of pieces, but at least your quarterback most likely in Drones.
Well, and that's it. I mean, they're returning a guy that has played for 2 years in Blacksburg. So obviously, it's not a brand new quarterback. Whether it was a, you know, kid out of high school or a transfer again, but you've got a new offensive coordinator and you've got a whole new scheme. So, did Drones pick up enough in the spring before he got hurt, Philip Montgomery's system, to carry it through the summer and into fall practice?
Was there any talk about new offense coordinator Philip Montgomery, you know, the offense looking different from the spring game?
You know, like I said, I actually was not in Blacksburg Saturday, so I did not see it. I've just talked to some people about it. But, I mean, yeah, there's some new wrinkles about it. But, again, it's a Coach Pry. You know, buck stops here. I think they're going to try to be as much balanced as they can. I mean, yeah, they want to run the football. They got a new offensive line coach, too, and more from West Virginia. So, yeah, there's a lot of new moving pieces. But I know they want to be able to run the football big time. And obviously, like I said, with Hawkins and Stewart in there, as well as Braden Bennett, I think they've got some guys that can carry the football. Again, will we be missing? Will we miss Bashel Tootin? There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm just hoping the defense can really surprise some people this year. Just last year, there were so many expectations for the line and the secondary with guys like Dorian Strong and Mansoor Delaney. I felt like they never lived up to the hype.
No,
can the defense take a step forward?
Yeah, and there's they didn't. I think they've had one in Pry's first 3 years, one defensive touchdown or something like that. So they've really got to pick it up. You know, the defense can score too. You know, they've got to pick it up on the defensive side. Not only create more turnovers, giving the offense a shorter field, and some of those games that you're losing down the stretch. If you give the offense 30 yards, 40 yards versus making them go 80, you know, that helps.
Yeah, no, so, but it's going to be interesting because the seat's never been hotter.
It's hot. Yeah, it's hot. And like I said, they cannot start the year out 0-2. They've got to find a way if they don't beat South Carolina or, you know, they've got to find a way to beat Vanderbilt, and they've got to find a way to go into October 3-1.
From the outside looking in, it does feel like a lot of the fan base has lost their faith in Coach Brent Pry. Where do you think it's at right now?
That's fair. At the same time, I still expect almost every game to be sold out this year.
Yeah.
When you start seeing games at Lane Stadium with 10 and 15 and 20,000 empty seats, then you know they're totally off the bus. The fan base is still strong. Obviously, Saturday the weather wasn't great here. It certainly wasn't great out in Blacksburg. This is the first time they've ever charged for a spring game. It's always been a free deal. I think tickets were $10, but the weather wasn't great. I didn't expect a great crowd. In fact, I saw some other spring games on the Big Ten Network and the ACC Network, and it looks like there was, you know, looked like that was popular not to go to the spring game.
Right. I mean, that's where I was going to go next with this, is it feels like around the country, This was the least amount of hype for spring games that I've ever seen.
I'm wondering if the spring game, if this was the last time Tech has a traditional spring game, if it just kind of either goes away or they completely change the situation. And I think a lot of schools are looking to, and some schools obviously have dropped the spring game, and I think a lot of schools are going in that direction.
Yeah, it feels like the new move is to hide everything.
Hide everything. Don't let any of your key players play.
Right.
And, and then we'll see in September.
And that's just not fun for the fans.
It's not fun for the fans. It's definitely not fun for us to talk about.
Because that's the thing is, right, you're going to have zero expectations, so you're going to be excited, you're going to pay for your tickets, and then maybe your team loses by 30.
You better have a roster when you go down to Atlanta on that Sunday, because you're going to be going, who's that? Who's that, right? Trust me, you better have your roster ready to go.
And we're used to that in basketball, but there's even more players on the football field every year.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, so we want to transition. Did we cover everything for Virginia Tech football spring game?
Yes, definitely. Definitely did. Just hopping over quick to basketball. Obviously, the news that just broke in the last hour, Toby LaWall has entered the NBA draft, although he has not, to my knowledge, he's set it up so that he can come back and play for the Hokies next year, and he has until May 28th to make that decision.
And he is a 2023 A-10 champion with the VCU Rams. I love the kid. I think he's got NBA talent. I don't think he's ready for it. I don't think that he has the offensive game. And, I wonder if Blacksburg is the right place for him to develop to an NBA talent.
Well, he said if he plays college basketball in 2025-26, it will be for the Hokies.
Yeah.
So, and that's what he said on his Twitter account.
Yeah, we'll see. If I were giving him advice, I would say seek out the SEC.
Actually, the Hokies also picked up a transfer today, the CAA Freshman of the Year, Isaiah Pasha from the University of Delaware.
I saw that too,
Committed to the Hokies today. So that's two. They also picked up Amani Hansberry from WVU last week, who came with Chester Frazier when Chester Frazier came back to Tech.
Yeah, and from people I've talked to, they love Chester Frazier.
He can recruit.
Yeah.
He's a Baltimore native. He's a DMV guy. He knows the area. So he can definitely recruit. I'm welcome, glad he is back with Coach Mike Young.
All right, so from Hokie Sports with Hokie Steve to Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles, and the upcoming NFL Draft. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Flying Squirrels, who will be back at the Diamond for the second homestand of the season starting tomorrow. Home games Tuesday through Sunday. But from the minors to the majors, time to talk a little baseball with Hokie Steve for Major League Chew on The Fan.
Play ball. It's time for Major League Chew.
Chew on that for a second.
What's the biggest story in the big leagues?
It is out of here!
Can you handle the heat?
There's no crying in baseball!
This puppy is headed for orbit!
Major League Chew on AWOD Radio.
Big bubbles, no trouble.
So let's start in the American League, and the AL East standings are as follows. Toronto's 9-7, top of the AL East. Yankees 8-7, Boston 8-9, Tampa Bay 7-8, Baltimore in the cellar at 6-9, but only 2.5 games out.
That's the only saving grace. Not only are the O's 6-9, the Nats are 6-9. We'll get to them in a minute. But, obviously the O's were hoping to get off to a good start. It hadn't happened. When they've won, they're averaging over 6 runs a game, 7 runs a game. But man, when they're losing, last week they were in their 6 losses, they were averaging under 2 runs a game. So they're just not. Obviously, they're not hitting.
It feels like the biggest issue right now, though, is the pitching.
There's no doubt about it. With Grayson Rodriguez still on the DL, Zach Eflin, who pitched last week, went on the DL, which hopefully is going to be a short stint. But they've still got, Suarez is on the DL. Kyle Bradish is still on the DL. They're hoping to get Rodriguez back soon, as well as Eflin. But and they re-signed Kyle Gibson, who played for him 2 years ago. He was with the Cardinals last year. But yeah, the Orioles right now with the pitching, it's just not there. And especially in the losses, the starters are just not able to even get through three or four innings.
Yeah, and I also thought they'd have more home runs by now as a team. Rutschman's got three to lead the team, but I mean, guys are with six or seven bombs right now around the league.
I was going to say, I think the Orioles only have like 16 home runs as a team or something like that. They hit six in the first game in Toronto. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
What does that tell you? So, Gunnar Henderson, who was also on the DL to start the season, he came off pretty quick. He's batting, he's 7-for-35 so far. You know, it really gets back to Corbin Burns, who they traded for last year. He was their ace. You know, they made a decent offer, but he chose to go to the Diamondbacks. And who did they replace him with? Charlie Morton, who pitched for Atlanta last year. He's 0-3 to start the season with about almost a 9 ERA. And this guy, Sugano from Japan, who's 1-1, he's not bad. But, you know, when you lose a superstar like Corbin Burns and you replace him with a guy like Charlie Morton, Mike Elias is slowly losing a little faith in Mike Elias as an Oriole GM.
So you've got an opportunity here with six straight home games to try to get back to .500. Cleveland comes to Baltimore and then Cincinnati before Beltway series against Washington,
right,
which is going to be interesting. As you noted, Washington also with the exact same record, 6-9 on the season. So before we get to the Nationals, I think, what were your expectations for the AL East as a whole for this year?
I mean, I knew the Yankees were going to be good. Obviously, losing Cole was a big loss to them. And obviously, I didn't even mention Anthony Santander,
right,
who's now with the Blue Jays, right? 44 home runs. The Orioles had to replace that in the lineup as well. But I still my expectations as an O's fan, but just in the AL East, I expected the Orioles and the Yankees and Toronto really to be the top three teams in the league. And, so far Toronto's up there. Again, we're 15 games in. We got a long way to go, right? But, again, pitching and defense, and you got to be able to, got the three-run, as Earl Weaver loved to say, the three-run home run's always great. And the O's got some work to do, and they got to get some guys healthy.
Washington Nationals had won four straight, won two series in a row against the D-backs and then the Dodgers, but have currently lost three of the last four, lost the series to the Miami Marlins, which is just so frustrating.
Who's even more than a rebuild.
You've got to win every game you have against the Marlins.
How do you take two out of three from
the Dodgers,
and then you go to South Florida and you play, and even they got off to a good start. Mitchell Parker pitched a great game Friday night,
right,
and the Nats won that game, but then Trevor Williams on Saturday, bad outing for the Nats. Mackenzie Gore, not a great outing yesterday, and you get two out of three you lose to a team that's probably even more in a rebuild stage than the Nats are.
Yeah.
Right now. And C.J. Abrams is on the – speaking of the injury list, C.J. Abrams goes on the IL, as does Orlando Ribalta.
Yeah, it's just frustrating because I feel like the starting pitching has been very good for the most part, and then the relief pitching comes in, and all of a sudden a 5-4 game turns into 7-4, 8-4,
right,
or 11-4, like we saw.
Well, the bullpen imploded yesterday, giving up seven runs,
yeah,
after Gore went out of the game.
And this is the second time that's happened for Gore, where,
right,
he's done a decent job. He's,
right,
had a quality start. And then the relief pitching gives up a ton of runs. They will be at the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I was going to say, there is good news.
Yeah.
They got the Pirates. However, tonight they got to face Paul Skeens.
Yep.
So maybe after tonight, and Skeens is 1-1. He's not 3-0 or anything, but he's still a great pitcher. But the Pirates are 5-11. And I think they've only scored, speaking of, hitting, I mean, they've only scored 50 runs in 16 games. So they're obviously struggling to hit the ball. And so the Nats have The Nats have got a chance to get back in the winning ways, but they're at Pittsburgh.
Yep, we'll hear more about the Washington Nationals from Andrew Golden, who covers the Nats for the Washington Post. But Hokie Steve and I want to transition back into the NFL here. We are 10 days away from the NFL draft. Isn't it weird that for the first time in a long time, Baltimore will select ahead of the Washington Commanders.
I know. Not much, but the Ravens are at 27, and the Skins are, the Commanders are at
29. Yeah. And that's, I'll take that, because 29 means you got to the conference championship.
I was going to say, with the way the Orioles and the Nats have started out, a lot of us can't maybe say, we can't wait till this football season already, right?
Absolutely. So, for Baltimore, what is the number one position of need?
I'm going to tell you, and it's similar to the Commanders, I'm going to tell you it's a defensive end or an edge rusher.
And it feels like that way for a lot of teams.
Right. Well, because with the Ravens, Kyle Van Noy and Adafi Olwe are both going to be free agents after this year. So, you know, and I'm looking at the draft board like you. I heard you mention Jack Sawyer's name.
Yeah.
I think he'll be available in that number. A guy that I would love for the Ravens to get, and he's a Virginia guy, is Mike Green. You know, he started out his career at Virginia, transferred to Marshall. He was the Sun Belt. I think he led the nation last year with 17 sacks. That's a great edge rusher. I don't know if he'll probably go higher than 27, but if he's around in that, you know, mid-20s, would love to see that.
That leads us to our next topic, which has been, for every team in the NFL, best case scenario, is it trade up, trade back, or stay put at 27 for the Ravens?
The Ravens have a history sometimes of taking draft picks and trading down. I think with the needs at defensive end, and also there's another guy out there who's somewhat of a local guy, played at Carolina. Obviously King Henry is going to be a huge part of the Ravens, but again, you need that second back. You know, if something happens, Amari Hampton. A guy that played at North Carolina.
I don't think you can go for that when you have King Henry.
I know. I'm saying we just need somebody to back up Derrick Henry if you know, God forbid, as a Ravens fan, something happens, and also to give him a series offer, you know, whatever. If Hampton's around, we'll see. There's also a really good defensive end, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year at Boston College.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned T.J. Warren or a top wide receiver, because I do think offense needs help.
I think T.J. Warren will be gone. I think he's going to he's going to be in the top 15.
Yeah,
and I think he's probably going to go maybe the Colts is what I've seen. Local kid, obviously played right up the road here.
So how do you feel about Bateman, Hopkins, and Flowers? Like, is that a Super Bowl winning wide receiver?
I love Zay Flowers.
I do too.
I love Zay Flowers. I think Rashad Bateman played better last year, took that step up. Now he's got to take another step up. But I love, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with Mark Andrews, but I love Isaiah Likely. I love Isaiah Likely.
But does Hopkins do anything? Like, would you draft a wide receiver, or are you saying, hey, Hopkins will fill that role?
Eric DaCosta, best player available. So, you know, we'll see. I hope it's on the defensive side. I think it's going to be a defensive pick. But the way the Ravens have done it with Newsom and now with DaCosta, they've always taken the best guy. I'm okay with that receiving core. Certainly, you know, I'd love to see him add to it. But I think they're okay there. I really do.
I don't think so. I'm not a Bateman guy. That's how long has he been with the team now?
This will be his fourth year.
Yeah. Because to me, that was like a De'Ami Brown situation where he finally became the player you want him to be. At this point, you know, I don't think you're going to get that from him every year.
Again, he took a big step up last year, especially in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
We'll see if he takes that next step up.
He closed the season 4 touchdowns in 5 games.
Zay Flowers has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that offense. And Derrick Henry has to stay healthy. And, we'll see. I think the Ravens will go on the defensive side. But, like I said, with Van Noy and Adafi Olwe are going to be free agents after next year, they've got to do something. But, you know, to me, with this news with Derek Carr, where does Jackson Dart fit in with this situation? With the Saints, possibly.
I think could be Shedeur Sanders as well. How are you predicting the NFC North here? I mean, I think the Ravens win double-digit games. I'm big on the Bengals. Browns and Steelers, question marks for me right now. I mean, with Pittsburgh.
Well, what's What's Aaron Rodgers? I mean, what's Aaron Rodgers going to do? And then are the Steelers going to take a quarterback? If the Rodgers situation, even if they do sign him, what are the Steelers going to do?
Right.
So I like the Ravens to win the division. 12-6 or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're 12-5.
But can they beat the Bills or Chiefs when it matters most?
Right. When it matters most. And are they going to be able to have home field advantage that they last 2 years ago they had it. They didn't close the deal. The Chiefs came in there and took it from them. Last year they had to go to Buffalo, you know, and play in, you know, 20 degrees or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it's I can't wait for the draft. Obviously, what are we talking, a week from Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
10
here.
Days.
It's here.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. So with the Commanders, the edge rusher too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying the same thing as you. Best player available. Because I've been circling 61. We can get in. It's going to be a deep edge class. There's going to be second rounders that have 8 or 9 sacks as a rookie.
Well, Sawyer very likely could be a second round pick.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the thing. At 27 and 29, best player available. You may end up with, you know, again, if Mike Green drops from the, you know, 15, 18, 20 range, if he's available at 27, I think the Ravens would take him. But you never know. A lot of things can happen, and still a lot of things can happen between now and next Thursday.
Yep, draft 10 days away. We'll have you covered here with the latest on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Hokie Steve, thanks so much, man.
Anytime.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Washington Nationals, who are 6-9, 15 games into the season, and will start a road series tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Joining us right now on the Adeed Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to talk all things Washington Nationals from the Washington Post, it's Andrew Golden. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on, Adam? How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good here. So, you know, let's start. 15 games into the season here. What grade would you give the Washington Nationals?
I give them like a B minus. I think I've seen some positives from them, but I also think that there's obviously some areas for improvement. They got off to a little bit of a slow start. They made a really good homestand, and they just lost 2-3 to Miami. And so it's kind of a mixed bag of some injuries. So you can't get a full picture of how everything's going. But I think there's been some positives, but I think some definite room for growth as well.
Yeah, I feel like you might have been a whole letter grade higher before the results of this weekend, losing 2-3 to the Marlins.
Yeah, I think it was definitely like an underwhelming weekend. And, you know, if it hadn't been for Nathaniel Lowe's heroics on Friday, then you're looking at like a potential sweep of the Marlins. And so I think for me, when I look at the stretch right now, they play the Marlins, they're playing the Pirates coming up and the Rockies. Like, I think this is, you know, if this team wants to take next step forward to kind of be a contending team, they have to prove they can beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And I think they should beat the Marlins. And so I think it is a little bit disappointing they weren't able to win at least 2 out of 3 in Miami. And so we'll see how it goes this series. Obviously, they have Paul Skenes tonight. So, you know, not going to be too shocked if they have a difficult time against Skenes, but I think they should definitely win the series for sure, at least split.
Andrew Golden with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, covers the Nats for the Washington Post. I mean, you're right. Obviously, even the next three series seem to be winnable, with Baltimore struggling. They have the exact same record of the Nats at 6-9. But give us your preview of tonight's matchup with Paul Skenes on the mound for the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, like as you know, it's Paul Skenes, and for the Nationals, they have Brad Lord going on the mound, so it's kind of like a bullpen game versus Skenes. But I think, you know, the Nationals have shown they've been hitting the ball well offensively. I mean, they had 10 hits yesterday and 8 walks, so they had no problem getting guys on base. They just couldn't drive them in those important moments. And so I'm interested to see how they can kind of do that against Skenes, but it should be a good matchup, and the Pirates are really struggling offensively. And so I think the Nationals, you know, bullpen should continue to do their job. So it should be interesting to watch.
Let's get the latest Dylan Crews report from Andrew Golden. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I think he's struggling right now. I think the team is working with him on some on some adjustments to the plate, trying to get him to move a little bit less, so that way he can see the ball better, so that way he can drive the ball a little bit more. And so, like you said, I think he's definitely got into a little bit of a slow start. But I think, you know, it's early; it's 15 games in. Definitely a little concerning, but I wouldn't be too concerned about it. Slumps happen during the season. It just happens to be the Dylan's going through it right now. And so we also have to keep in mind that he was only in the majors for a month last season, so it's going to take an adjustment before he gets fully adjusted. And so I'm interested to see how things pan out there.
Let's get the latest injury report. We know the Nationals placed C.J. Abrams on the 10-day IL Saturday due to a right hip flexor strain.
Yeah, so they placed C.J. It was an injury that happened last week in their series finale against the Diamondbacks. He was off 2 days, and he said he was fine, and he came back, and they had nagged him again on Friday. So the team just wanted to give him some time to rest and hopefully nip it in the bud, so that way he can keep playing for the full season. The next day, Orlando Rabalsa was placed on the 15-day IL with a bicep strain, so he'll be out for a little bit. The Nationals called up Cole Henry, so he should feel like a multi-inning reliever role, which is something that Rabalsa was doing well. And now Henry gets opportunity too. Henry was our second-round pick in 2020. He had some complications from thoracic outlet syndrome and surgery following that. So the Nationals moved into the bullpen this offseason to stay healthy. And so he looked pretty good yesterday, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do in the future.
What do you think about Mackenzie Gore 4 starts into the season?
I think he's been good. I also think that there's more in the tank. I think he'd be the same. I think the key is he's getting to a lot of 2-strike counts, which is good, but he's not putting guys away the way that I think he thinks he should, and I think that we know that he can. And so, I think that'll be an interesting test to see how can he kind of make adjustments to put guys away with 2 strikes. Counts are kind of lingering. He's getting us some hits in 2-strike counts. And so the good news is he's getting ahead, which has been a problem in the past. I think the key now is just figuring out how to finish guys off.
Yeah, no, that's going to be key for sure. It just also feels like, you know, they don't get help at the plate, and then they get hurt with relief pitching anytime, you know, he's on the mound for the Washington Nationals, who are 6-9 on the season. Andrew Golden with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. So, you know, James Wood, it feels like the last time we talked, it was about him adding some power, and he's been able to do that in the last week.
Yeah, I think it was 5 homers in 4 days. And what impresses me is not just the fact that he's hitting the homers, but it's the way he's doing it. He hits it on line drive to left center field in a way that I just have not seen a guy do. And I've seen guys do it before, but not for the ball to go out the way it did in Miami on Friday. It's a really impressive. It's a very unique swing, and he's having a lot of success. And so I think that's a big development for the Nationals. And so we'll see if he can keep it going this week.
You know, when I look at the lineup, who do you think has been underwhelming? Is it safe for me to point to Josh Bell? I mean, I expected him to be better at the plate and maybe have a couple more home runs by now.
I think Josh Bell can be pretty streaky at the plate. And so I think for me, actually, might be Paul DeJong, who's kind of at the bottom of their lineup. And, you know, he hit a lot of homers last year. I think the Nationals were hoping to get that power boost from him. But he's striking out a lot. And he hasn't really been playing. When he puts the ball in play, he's been hitting the ball right to people. So I think there's some of that. But also, he's been striking out a lot. And so he's been a little bit underwhelming. I think Josh Bell has too. And the other thing too, like Luis Garcia, he's been hitting the ball really hard. He just doesn't have the results to show for right now. And so I'm interested to see if that can start to turn around. But those are some guys that stand out. But I think DeJong kind of stands out to me at the moment. I'll be interested to see if he can start to figure some things out at the plate and strike out a little bit less.
So James Wood, Dylan Cruz, Abrams, but now he's injured. Who are the best Washington Nationals that are currently in the minors right now?
I think Brady House is a guy that you look at offensively as a guy who, whenever he's ready at third base, I think that they're grooming him for that position at third base. And so I would say Brady House is kind of the guy to watch there. In the pitching mound, you have a couple guys who are in the lower minors. Alex Clemmy is a guy that stands out. He struck out 10 the other day. In Wilmington, Harlan Susan is in Double A. They acquired him in the Soto trade, so he's somebody who I'm watching. So I think those are kind of some of the guys in the minor leagues that I'm keeping my eye on, and they've all performed well to start the year.
Andrew Golden with us here from the Washington Post covering the Washington Nationals. One more time about this past weekend against the Marlins. What was, you know, your biggest takeaway losing 2-3 to a team that I think most of the fan base feels like they have to win that series?
Yeah, I think my takeaway is the same. I think they have to win that series against the Marlins. I know the Marlins have made some improvements, but they didn't really spend a ton this offseason, and so they're a very similar team to what they were a couple years ago. And then Marlins pitching wasn't even that great this weekend. And so I think the key for the Nationals is just taking advantage of their opportunities at the plate. They had plenty of opportunities to break that game open yesterday, and they didn't. They let the Marlins kind of hang in there, and they took advantage of it. So I think the key for them is just getting out to an early lead and making the most of their opportunities. But definitely was a little bit of an underwhelming weekend, but we'll see if they can bounce back in Pittsburgh this week.
What's the key to having the Nats not get embarrassed at the plate by Paul Skenes tonight?
I think taking advantage of your opportunities. Don't let them off the hook. I mean, like I said, yesterday the Nationals, the bases loaded with one out in the first inning, and Josh Bell hit to a double play. And so I think you know, when you have Skenes on the ropes, like, make sure that you make the most of it and don't let him off the hook. I think that's the key for him. Obviously, just don't chase, which I think it's really easy for me to say sitting in a press box and not being at the plate. But I think they have to do that too.
Well, Andrew, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for the information.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck for the return of Burger Night. Back like it never left, Mondays from 3 p.m. to midnight. Get a cheeseburger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So on Sunday was the final regular season day of the NBA. Play-in tournament begins tomorrow night. And we also saw Rory McIlroy complete the career Grand Slam, winning the Masters. Let's take a listen to the call on CBS as Rory McIlroy with the winning putt.
Journey it's taken to get here for all this history.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Congratulations to Rory McIlroy. Winning the Masters is a big deal for any professional golfer, but there's more than just cash stub and a cool green jacket that goes with winning the first major of the PGA Tour season. Here are a few other spoils that come with the victory, according to our friends at Bro Bible. So not only, all right, so they're not only going to get their name etched into the trophy permanently that will reside at Augusta National Golf Club, but since 1991, winners have also been allowed to take home a replica of that trophy. Since 1934, tournament champions have been awarded a 3.4-inch, 2-pound gold medal. The honor of getting to choose the menu for the following year Masters Championship dinner. And that's always the best part because, you know, that is your menu. And I know it's been a funny story in the past that people have talked about when somebody wins and then everybody hates their menu the next year or everybody falls in love with it. But you also get a permanent invite to the Masters Championship dinner that, of course, starts before the Master. The wives of the winners, so Rory McIlroy's wife, will get an unofficially designed locket in the shape of a Masters logo. The winner also gets an honorary lifetime membership to Augusta National, access to the champions locker room for the rest of their lives, and winners permanently qualify for the Masters and receive an automatic bid, an invite for the next 5 years to the U.S. Open, British Open, PGA Tour Championship. As far as the money goes, when the Masters first started, the total purse was $5,000, with $1,500 going to the winner. Well, last year, Scottie Scheffler took home $3.6 million in his victory. So congratulations to Rory McIlroy, who wins in a playoff over Justin Rose. It was a ton of fun to watch Augusta on Sunday at the Masters as it got close. It got heated for a moment with a three-way tie at 10 under. Rory, it was a roller coaster of emotions. It was up, but it was down. I mean, it was like he was behind a tree, and then all of a sudden he was 2 feet from the cup, and then he was behind another tree, and then he's 2 feet from the cup, and then he birdies, then he bogeys, then he birdies, then he bogeys. It was up and down, up and down, up and down, but it ended with a championship and a green jacket for Rory McIlroy. Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. We close the show by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. Home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on
game day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day in this game day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game day.
So we wanted to mention that tonight is the women's NBA, the WNBA draft, and UConn's national championship guard Paige Beckers is most likely going to go number one overall. We've been tracking former Virginia Tech guard turned Kentucky Wildcat guard Georgia Amor, with some mock drafts having her go, you know, anywhere between like 8 and about 16. Maybe, just maybe, she would end up teaming up with Elizabeth Kitley that was taken last year 24 overall to the Vegas Aces. So you've got WNBA draft tonight. You've got Major League Baseball, Washington Nationals against the Pittsburgh Pirates and Paul Skeens. That's just going to be fantastic television right there. I don't expect the Washington Nationals to have very much success at the plate against Skeens, but that's going to be really cool to watch. No NBA today as teams are getting geared up for the postseason with the play-in tournament beginning tomorrow night on TNT. And now they're streaming these TNT games on Max as well. So if you don't have cable, you can check it out on Max. Tomorrow, the NBA Eastern Conference play-in game, Hawks Magic. Western Conference, your late game, Grizzlies against the Warriors. Stubb, did you have anything in the sports world that you wanted to spotlight tonight?
No, I mean, you covered the two things I'm most interested in, especially the WNBA and where Georgia Amor ends up. I'd love to see her name get called. I don't really have that much interest otherwise. Maybe see who Caitlin Clark's new teammates are. I doubt we will be seeing Georgia team up with Kitley, though, unless Kitley gets traded or something. I don't think the Aces are looking for a new guard.
Capitals Islanders is tomorrow night as the Capitals look to get back into the win column here before the NHL postseason. The regular season concludes on Thursday before the postseason begins. So the Capitals will close out their season Thursday on the road against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So the Nats are in Pittsburgh today. The Caps will be in Pittsburgh on Thursday to close out the NHL season. And in the NFL, we are all wondering, will Aaron Rodgers make a decision before the NFL draft? Will Aaron Rodgers make a decision before the NFL draft? Because if you're the Steelers, I think you're getting ready to move on from him. I think there's an opportunity for the Steelers to draft a quarterback, or maybe even to trade up to get like a Shedeur Sanders to get the quarterback of their future. Now, it's going to be interesting because I do think their roster is in a win-now mode the way it's currently constructed, and so that's why I think they wouldn't have interest in Aaron Rodgers. But with them going out to draft somebody next Thursday, they might have to select a quarterback because they don't have anybody that can really play that position on their roster. And that is a massive problem when you're in a very difficult decision. I mean, if you're a Steelers fan, you're going to go crazy if Mason Rudolph or Skylar Thompson actually starts games this year. It feels like it's Aaron Rodgers or a rookie for the Steelers. There are not really many free agents now available. And then we had the news of the Saints and their quarterback Derek Carr. Now he is in jeopardy to miss the start of the regular season. Just feels like that points to Shedeur Sanders falling to New Orleans at number 9 overall. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Stub running the ones and twos. The big sports story today in the NBA, the Suns fire Mike Budenholzer, saying a change was needed. Just one season in Phoenix, and Mike Budenholzer is out of a job, with the ownership group saying, quote, competing at the highest level remains our goal, and we failed to meet expectations this season. Our fans deserve better. Change is needed. That for the third consecutive offseason, the Suns owner, Matt Ishbia, has been upset with his team's performances in the regular season, and so he makes yet another move to try to fix the Phoenix Suns, and that team's in just going nowhere. They made that awful move for Bradley Beal, and so for the third consecutive offseason, Matt Ishbia is making changes, and they're making changes at the coach position. Mike Budenholzer out of a job, and it just feels pretty obvious that during this offseason, they will be shopping Kevin Durant and will most likely move on from the future Hall of Fame NBA player Kevin Durant, who at this point I don't think will ever play for the Washington Wizards. The timeline just doesn't meet up. They've got a young roster. They're looking forward to making a top six selection in the upcoming NBA draft. Durant is now 36 years old. He's played for multiple NBA franchises. He's struggled to make the postseason in the last few years. It's just been awful time for him in Phoenix there. And for Suns fans, I feel terrible because just 4 years ago, you were in the NBA Finals with Chris Paul off the roster, DeAndre Ayton off the roster, and a young Devin Booker. And now you have Devin Booker, who's, you know, he's still young at 28, but he's entering his prime, and you can't even touch the postseason. You can't even touch the play-in game. They did need to make a change. I would have made a change general manager rather than at the head coaching position. So in the sports world right now, it's all things NBA gearing up for the postseason. NHL and Alex Ovechkin, can the Washington Capitals, now that he's broken that record, he got goal number 896 over the weekend, so he's still scoring goals, but they need to play better defensively and find other guys who can put the puck into the back of the net other than Alexander Ovechkin. The Squirrels are back in town with a game at the Diamond tomorrow, and then a day game on Wednesday. First pitch as early as 11 a.m., and you can hear it right here on 910 a.m., 105.1 FM. Grant Polson, Danny Ruye, Grant and Danny drive you home on The Fan from Washington, D.C.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.